Hello, listeners. This is the, what is it again?
Isabella.
This is the Isabella. No, I meant, what's the show called?
This is the 20MB.2 podcast.
Oh, thank you. Before we get going, what a couple of little bits of housekeeping to attend to. Highly important, in-depth podcasting. Right, first of all, I want to go online. Because I've had a message for somebody. Stop making that silly noise. I've had a request, in fact, from somebody on Facebook. So I'm going to have to log on to my Facebook account. Of course you can join our group on Facebook. That's the 20MB.2 podcast, where we chat about... what do we chat about in a Doctor Who podcast group, Isabella?
No.
You don't know?
You said no.
No? Well, thanks for your help. Right. We also have feedback later on in the show in relation to a certain person's 40th birthday.
That's me.
All messages, we've already had one, as you will hear later on, to this podcast, of course. By the time we have our next show, she will already be 40. So that will be sort of backdated birthday messages. Pardon, Isabella? I have had some correspondences with a chap called Ivan Ord, and he has said, without me trying to sound cheeky, if you could ever get the chance and you're interested, give me and my stories a mention on one of your DW podcasts, please. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I could honestly do with the help. So there we go, Ivan. I've mentioned your stories. So if you want to look up, listeners, Ivan Ord, it's Ivan, then Ord. Maybe Google him, and you'll find his stories. So there you go. So should we get on with the podcast now?
No.
We begin.
No.
This morning, before we started recording, Ben Shoveler appeared once again on Radio 2. This time on the Ken Bruce Show, and this is what happened.
Right, I'm ready for it. Are you? Round two.
Popmaster with Ken Bruce on BBC Radio 2.
From Farnborough in Hampshire, it's Ben Shoveler. Morning, Ben. Oh, hold on. I haven't faded you up. That helps. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Ken.
There you are. Got you this time.
I'm glad, yes. I'm glad I was here.
Yeah, you work better when you're faded up. The answers come through clearer. So, tell me...
I wouldn't say that.
Tell me a bit about yourself. Who have you got as a family, first of all?
Well, I'm married to Rachel. I've got two children, Chloe, who's 11, and Mia, who's 5. And they're at school at the moment.
Obviously. Right. Lovely, lovely. You run a podcast, I believe, to do with Doctor Who.
Well, I don't run a podcast. I'm a co-contributor to a podcast. It's a 20MB Doctor Who podcast, which we're going to be recording about 11 o'clock this morning.
Oh.
So you'll have to be quite quick on this, if you don't mind.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I won't hold you back. what sort of material is in that?
We just sit there talking about past and present Doctor Who, the old stuff and the new stuff, and we're reviewing an old Patrick Troughton one today.
Oh, right, OK. And by and large, is it the older ones you prefer, do you think?
No, I prefer the newer stuff. I think David Tennant, the whole Russell T Davis and Judy Gardner era is just the best stuff that's been on Doctor Who. But the old stuff, you know, it's got its own special place, isn't it? I mean, it's very, very good, a lot of the old stuff. It just doesn't get the recognition that it sometimes needs to because of the new stuff, I think.
True, true, true. And what's the take-up of your podcast?
I have no idea. You have to ask Adam, the bloke who records it.
Well, I've lost.
4 million people.
Yeah, of course, yeah, and growing. Growing every day. Yeah. Well, let's see if you can get to some of our listeners with this stuff. Number one since the year 2000, that's still there. Or The Kinks.
I think we'll go with number one from the year 2000.
You'll do the number one since the year 2000,
yeah,
just to make that quite clear. Okay, just so you know. Right, okay, these are the ones for you. 15 points on the scoreboard by Jay. Decent score.
Yeah, about average, isn't it, these days?
It is these days, so let's see if you can just tip yourself above that. Ben, good luck, and here they come. Popmaster. In 1971, Rod Stewart had his first number one with a song that included these lines. You made a first-class fool out of me, but I'm blind as a fool can be.
Maggie May.
Maggie May, that's right. 3 points. This Isn't Everything You Are is the title of a recent song by which group? This Isn't Everything You Are.
No idea.
Okay, Snow Patrol.
Wow.
Bonus question on number ones since 2000. Here's part of a verse from a number one hit from 2010 by JLS. The question is, what's the title?
I don't know what you did, but all I could think about was you. Thought I could want you more than I did before.
What's the title?
It's Love You More.
It is Love You More. Very good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yes. You knew it.
I'm annoyed, I know that. I'm really sure. I might not give you your 6 points back, actually.
No, well, wait and see. I'll give you them for the time being. 6 points. What was the one-word title of the 1985 top three duet by Ashford and Simpson?
Solid.
Solid is right. Okay, in which year were the songs at number 30, 20 and 10 in this week's chart? The Lunatics Have Taken Over the Asylum by the Funboy Three, Hold Me by B.A. Robertson and Maggie Bell, and Labelled With Love by Squeeze.
Early 80s.
81. Oh, yes, early 80s. You nailed it down to 81. Very well done. Bonus question on number one since the year 2000. This is Madonna's 13th UK number one. I'd like you to please name the person she's singing with. Who's that with her?
Justin Timberlake.
It is Justin Timberlake. Right, 6 points.
Another one. JLS and Justin Timberlake.
I know, you're blushing as you say it, but they're worth the points.
Yeah.
Good. With which group was Dolores O'Riordan lead singer on a run of hit singles and albums in the 90s?
The Cranberries
is right. Beginning
that's
with
all right, that kind of stuff. That's
fair enough. Beginning with the earliest, put these three songs by Elton John in the order they were originally hits. Blue Eyes, The Bitch Is Back, The One. That's Blue Eyes, The Bitch Is Back, and The One. Which came first?
The Bitch Is Back.
Yes.
Then Blue Eyes,
yes.
And The One.
Yes, that's it, absolutely. 74, 82 and 92 were the years. Bonus question on number ones since 2000. In 2006, this performer achieved her only UK number one. What's her name?
Oh, I wish I was a punk rocker with flowers in my hair. In 77 and 69, revolution was in the air. I was born too late into a world that doesn't care. Oh, I wish I was a punk rocker with flowers in my hair.
What's her name?
Sandy Tom
is right. And one more. The 1990 top 10 single Falling was the vocal version of the theme tune to the TV series Twin Peaks. It was sung by Julie who?
Cruz.
Julie Cruz is right. Great one to remember. Well done. Well, didn't you do well? 36 points.
That's what I got last time.
Oh, well, oh. You are the most consistent man we've had on in years. Very good, though. 36, not easy to achieve. Well done, indeed. Well done. Jay, I'm afraid we had a bit of a champion there.
Well and truly hammered. Congratulations.
Thank you. Hard luck, Jay.
Jay, thank you for saying that, but I'm afraid all we offer you by compensation is a CD wallet.
That's very nice of you. Thank you.
We'll send that off to you. But, Jay, thanks for taking part. Yep.
Okay, Ken, thank you.
Good. Nice talking to you. Thanks very much, Jay.
Yes, bye-bye.
See you. Bye. Jay Dewis, that was, of Barwell, Leicester. So, Ben Shoveler of Farnborough is through to 3 in 10. Okay, Ben, you ready for this?
I am, yeah.
Right then. 10 seconds, 3 answers, digital radio is the prize. Today, the titles are 3 UK single chart hits for
3 in 10.
Shania Twain.
Man, I Feel Like a Woman.
Yes.
No.
No, not really.
No, you've embarrassed yourself enough today by knowing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Justin,
I think
I'll do, yeah. Yeah, stop. You got one, which is fine. Man, I feel like a woman, but the other's like Forever and For Always. That don't impress me much, big hit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that one of
them. And she did Party for Two with Mark McGrath as well. So, anyway, don't worry, we will send you one of our MP3 players. I was just having a think. You won't quite make it into Champions League Popmaster because you didn't get your 3 and 10. Otherwise, you might have made it into this year's Champions League, which would have been good, but no.
2 years, or 2 times in a row. 36 and missed out on Champions League.
I know, but 36 points, you can be very proud of that twice. So that's great stuff. Well done.
I'll have to try again next year. Can I say a few hellos?
Sure thing. On you go.
Obviously to Rachel, Chloe and Mia, to my mum and dad, thanks for the holiday a couple of weeks ago, very nice. To my big brother and little brother, Tim and Max, everyone I didn't mention last time, and also Pat Sissons, Adam Pearson and Neil Shoesmith.
There you are. Thank you, Ben, all the best.
Thanks, Ken.
Cheers now. Bye. Ben Shoveler, that was, of Farnborough in Hampshire.
Services in association with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Yes, that was our very own wonderful, superb, brilliant, all sort of superlatives I can't really list. Ben Shoveler on Radio 2 on, where are we, Monday morning.
Have you just put that on, have you?
Yes.
I'm really annoyed.
Why?
Because I only got 36 out of 39. And I didn't get the 3 in 10 at the end. Which means I didn't get onto Champions League, which was... I wanted the radio, right? I won it 2 years ago, and I got a digital radio, which is in my bedroom. And yeah. I wanted a digital radio for the kitchen, which is why I went on. And I wanted to get on the Champions League things, the best people of the year.
I did try and mentally project the... one of the Shania Twain songs that came to mind when he asked you that question, but you don't impress me much. It's the only one that came to my mind, but you said one of the other ones.
You're going to have to get your beatbox ready, but Shania Twain.
Hmm.
I will be so glad when someone explains what's going on.
Well, very, very quickly.
Basically, I am the king of pop. Well, apart from Michael Jackson. You know, he might have got that crown a bit before me, but...
As we speak, about half an hour ago, Ben was on BBC Radio 2 on the Ken Bruce Show in a competition called Popmaster, answering questions on a thing he did about a year ago when he won it and won a radio. He entered it again, was rather superb, apart from the bit where he needed to win the radio. But the thing that sticks in my mind was the mention of the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast on probably the most popular radio station in the nation.
Yeah,
right, you know, mate. Got to do your bit, haven't you?
Thank you for my little shout at the end. I'm rather chuffed.
And also the fact that we've got 4 million listeners.
Well, yeah, a slight exaggeration, but never mind.
We just go up.
Well, 4 million people would have heard of the name 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, which is
well, actually 8 million people, because that's how many people listen to that show. Yeah, exactly.
he's scared now.
Oh God. Right, well, Kirby is... Pardon?
I'm just speaking to the wife who's just got home. Hello, love.
Did she hear it?
No, she didn't. I better go and tell her quickly. You lot carry on.
Right, then. Well, Kirby, we haven't got you for very long this week, so bye. Right, then. Reese. I'm only joking.
Wait.
What? Right, I don't know whether I should start doing this review when Ben's just disappeared.
Oh, no.
Oh, well, shall we show you anyway? You can jump in, can't you? Yeah, we'll... Pardon?
Of course.
Yeah, we're going to. Robert has contacted me. I'm just going to see what he lays. I don't really. I daren't go off this Skype page for fear of losing your connections. But he said he'd like to pop in and say hello at some point. So
that'd be wonderful.
Hopefully, he'll be online when that particular occasion occurs. Which is proves he's getting better. He had a bit of a bad week. He's lost 8 pounds. He said.
Gosh.
And yeah. But he's well enough to hopefully. Say hello later on in the show. Right, so...
Let's not make him laugh too much.
Yeah, indeed. we have got feedback later, but like I say, we haven't got much time, so we'll plough straight on with...
We've also got a bit of news.
Oh, yes, you've got some news. Don't forget your news, but we'll do that later. Hopefully we'll get through this review, and Kirby's still got a bit of time to listen to your news as well. Right, so episode one of The Mind...
I'll just send you the link to it.
That as well. The Mind Robber.
Well, you haven't introduced this yet.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I got all excited, didn't I, because about Ben. Yeah, Kirby Bartlett Sloane.
Hello.
Ben Shubber. Oh, he's not there. And Reese Barton.
Hello.
Oh, he is.
Hello.
There. Are you back?
Yeah.
He's back, right. That's good timing. I forgot to... I've just been advised. I forgot to introduce everybody. This is episode 87 of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Yay.
And obviously, understandably, a little bit sidetracked. Right, so episode one of the Mind Robber, then. It begins with them escaping the lava that was capturing them at the end of the Dominators. And the Doctor takes the TARDIS
that
out.
That explains a lot.
Does it?
Yes.
Does it need to, though?
Is the Dominators really one of the ones that has missing episodes?
No.
Or is it available?
That's
available.
Invasion.
The Invasion has a miss. That's one that's been put together with cartoons.
The thing is, the Invasion is on DVD. I have it.
Yeah, but Dominators is also on DVD. Yes, it is available.
It is? Oh, okay. Yes, I'll have to look for it.
Yeah. So basically, I don't want to explain too much about it. There's a big explosion, a volcanic eruption at the end of the Dominators. The TARDIS gets caught in the lava flow. And the Doctor, the only way apparently he can get it out of this lava flow, after Jamie says, has it ever been caught in the lava flow before, is to take it out of reality. And there's a mention of fluid links, which is a bit of a throwback to the Dalek story.
Second
when
episode.
When it was first mentioned. Right. Zoe. Sorry?
I mean, the second story, sorry.
Yes.
Yeah, that, you know what I mean.
Just woke up. Come on.
Zoe asks why the meters aren't registering anything. The Doctor announces that they are nowhere. Zoe changes into a sort of cat suit with sparkles on it.
Meow.
meanwhile, Jamie
what did
sees...
What you just do? How'd you hurt yourself?
Yeah. Meanwhile, Jamie sees images of Scotland on the scanner. Zoe sees her home. She nearly...
Here's some bagpipes.
She nearly leaves.
Anytime you see a picture of Scotland, there's constant bagpipes in the background. Yeah,
yeah, just to show it's Scotland, yeah.
Scotland.
Well, that's what it's like in Scotland anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, everywhere you go in Scotland, you just hear bagpipes.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Being followed by someone with bagpipes.
She
it
nearly,
gets quite annoying, actually, after a while.
But they did that when Terror of the Zygons, though, a lot, wouldn't they? There was lots of bagpipes playing in the background. There you go. Because I think that's the only other time they were in Scotland.
I haven't seen that one since the 80s, so I don't know.
Well, I think that's the only other Scottish-based story there was. She nearly leaves after Jamie says, oh, we don't go out the doors, so we've got to get the Doctor. But to
don't
Jamie,
go into the light.
Yeah, anyway, Jamie steps in. But then he goes off and she does go out. He comes back in with the Doctor into the console room. And then he runs out, doesn't he, after the Doctor says don't. And we see further inside the TARDIS on this episode, which we haven't seen for a while. Obviously, you would have to watch all these episodes to know that, but I did have, and I know they haven't actually showed a lot of the TARDIS interior since the chase. So Jamie realises Zoe's gone. Jamie goes. A noise screams into the TARDIS, which seems to sort of throw the Doctor off concentration and stuff. And Jamie's Zoe now.
The way that they left the TARDIS, it did me. You know, when they left the TARDIS, they, you know, like these days, you see them go from the outside of the blue doors to outside of the blue doors. And this one, they ran out of the big opening doors out into mist, which was rubbish.
Yeah. Anyway, Jamie and Zoe are in undressed Blue Peter studio. That's what I wrote down as my notes. Because that's basically what it looked like. It was the Blue Peter studio, even if that little board thing at the back. that's what I thought anyway. Doctor
is going over my head.
Is it? Sorry. The Doctor is fighting off some psychic force, and while some white robots are nearby, and something is playing tricks with their
minds. Those white robots are holding up their hand and getting. Oh, sorry.
Are they closing
speaking
off?
Of which, did you notice when their chest opened up, it was like the hand bot's face opening up and shooting the dart at
it? Yeah, I didn't notice that, but yeah.
I'm certain that the whole business with the girl who waited was an homage.
Oh, of course. Of course it was. Oh, and a very good one at that. Anyway, they close in on Jamie and Zoe, who see themselves beckoning, wearing white costumes. Zoe keeps screaming, and she screams a lot in this story. Doctor leaves the TARDIS. He tries to break Jamie and Zoe's hypnosis and gets them back into the TARDIS. The Doctor dematerialises and Jamie has a nightmare while the Doctor and Zoe try to sort out things. It was a nightmare of a unicorn or something like that charging at him, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. The Doctor is being affected by a buzzing, so they try to fight off the loss of concentration, I think, by getting Zoe to count the figures on the, or read off figures on a display or something like that. But the TARDIS explodes and Zoe's arse is magnificent.
Is that because the TARDIS explodes?
Sorry, wow. Actually, I lost concentration completely. And on because I was just waiting for that, because Deb was in the room at the time. I said, have a look at this, Deb. This is one of the sexiest things ever in Doctor Who. And it was basically, first thing she saw was the console. I said, what's so good about that? Then Zoe's arse sort of came into view and she said, what's so good about that? but
there's
yeah.
a reason for that, Adam.
Yes, it was splendid. And the highlight of the story for me. It was a good story, though, but that was the highlight. It certainly shot it from a great angle. So I'd like to congratulate the director of this story for that particular sequence.
And I'd like to congratulate the actress who played Zoe, can't remember her name for the time being, for a great...
Wendy Padbury.
Mm.
That's it. And actually, I checked out a few photos of her, and I found one of colour of her in the catsuit, and it's looks good.
Very pretty girl she was. Anyway, so...
Your wife wouldn't enjoy it, though, Adam.
Oh, so, yes, and it just says, great cliffhanger. I think this was, I mean, if you imagine watching this weekly, and that's how the episode of the TARDIS explodes, and that's it, you've got a week to find out what the blooming heck's going on. I thought that was a fantastic cliffhanger.
The infotext says that the big studio they used was Studio 3 at the BBC Television Centre, which was not their usual studio. They normally use a very small studio at Lime Grove.
Well, you have Wikipedia at your disposal.
No, this is Infotech.
All right. Well, try and find out what studio Blue Peter was generally filmed in the 60s and 70s. If it is Studio 3, then I was right. And I'll be quite pleased about that. I usually am, anyway. All right, Episode 2. All the crew appear lost in a forest, I put forest because we weren't quite sure whether it was a forest or not. Jamie attacks a redcoat. Now, I was looking at this... knowing why what happens, you know, subsequently, to see if he looked a bit poorly during this particular scene. And he did look a bit swollen around the face. But anyway, he attacks a redcoat and gets shot and is turned into a cardboard cutout of himself. But like I say, he was well enough to film that scene. Obviously, he knew he was well. I wasn't well, so they had to get him out of it. But they got him in to do this scene. Someone is watching everything from a control room. With a very sinister voice, yes.
Oh, you mean on the show?
Yes. The Doctor wakes up and goes to find Jamie and Zoe, but hears voices. The controller, as he was called at that particular point, wants to catch the Doctor.
Now, they used Studio 1, Blue Peter, not Studio 3.
I feel disappointed. I can edit that bit out. That's good. The soldier... the soldier robots... are searching for the Doctor. Gulliver arrives, and I think it just says, and is superbly played by Bernard Horsfall. His dialogue is so clever in this. Obviously, at this stage, we don't know why he talks like this, but he just delivers it so brilliantly. And I absolutely love his character in this. And he calls the controller the Master. Some children appear and harass the Doctor with riddles, and I can just imagine that at the time those were children who were just as annoying as they are now. The Doctor finds cardboard cutout Jamie, and a safe and a wishing well, and he's given some riddle to work out, and then Jamie's face disappears.
But what about Zoe?
Yeah, she's disappeared, isn't she? She's imprisoned somewhere, but we haven't come to that bit yet, have we?
Well, no, she went through a door and gave a very nice scream.
No, yeah. I didn't think that was so relevant.
Screaming.
No, no.
That's before the whole well.
No, okay, then. Okay, so a good bit of recapping then. I do apologise, I missed that bit. I must have blinked. So that basically, Jamie is safe and well. His face disappears. The Doctor then has a little game to put the correct face back together again, but...
hastily rewritten.
Yeah, puts the a different face together, and of course we have a different actor playing Jamie for the episode. Then we see Zoe in a jar. I can't remember how they get the jar to appear, because initially it was like superimposed on the door, wasn't it? And then it became there, was actually there in front of them. And oh, that's right, they rip open a paper lid, don't they, and pull her out, and she said, "Who's this?" And they have a brief "This is Jamie"
She's
sort
got
of conversation.
The wrong face.
Yes. Anyway, after a long walk, and we know it's a long walk because Zoe's moaning about her feet hurting, Jamie climbs up a tree and finds they're in a forest of words, a proverb forest. Jamie spots a way out, which is right next to where they are, quite cunningly. And then Gulliver appears again, and some robots...
You know, that way out happens to be the edge of the page. It's not made that clear.
Oh, is it not? Oh, is that what you saw in the info text?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Anyways,
info text rules.
It does, yeah. I did watch it, a bit of info text for episode 5, to be honest with you. Only because I only remembered it up to that point. Robots approach, but Gulliver can't see them. He stands guard and gives their position away, because basically there's nothing there for him to see. So
These aren't robots.
Caught.
These are toy soldiers. Well, they're robots, but they're not the same robots.
Well, you know, yes, all right. Stop confusing me. A unicorn...
This is from a guy who said he's just woken up when I corrected him.
A unicorn appears and then charges at them, because they're basically led away to some sort of corner which is draped in black curtains, and then this unicorn charges at them. So, episode 3, they say it doesn't exist, basically, to get rid of, or basically to freeze the unicorn into a cardboard cutout. And the master allows them to escape as he feels they are getting ever nearer to him. Another red coat appears and Jamie attacks it and turns back into his normal self. And after the doctor obviously puts the correct face, and that's quite a good scene where Zoe then realises why Jamie's got a different face.
He's got chicken pox.
And it says a great shot through, because after this bit they go into a little room, house or cave or something like that, through this door, which turns out to be the labyrinth. And there's a shot, opening shot through a spider's web. So they focus on the spider's web, and then they focus through the spider's web onto the doctor, Jamie and Zoe. And I thought that was really good
bit of
filming. Anyway, they are in a maze.
And there's a Nyman in the middle.
Yes, are you coming? That's exactly what I said. Well done. Excellent. they're in a maze. Zoe remembers the story of the Nyman, and I actually wrote it down as Nyman. And then one appears, or a shadow of one anyway.
If they had just used that mask instead of the ones that they used in the Nyman.
Did you actually see the mask? Because all I saw was a shadow on a wall.
Well, the mask isn't that great. Mm-hmm. It's not one they made for the show. They made it. They just got it out of stocks. But it's better than the Nyman one.
Okay. But anyway, Jamie hides from a soldier robot and realises that the light in its hat is its eye, so he covers it. And then, after this moment of genius, is called a brainless idiot by the master, which I thought was a bit contradictory. The doctor and Zoe don't believe in the Minotaur, and it vanishes, very conveniently. They go to find Jamie, but he is gone as well. Gulliver appears again, and the doctor realises that they are in a world of fiction, so it's taken him 2.5 episodes to... Well, 3.5 actually. It's 2.5, isn't it? To realise that they're in a world of fiction. What are we doing here? Asks Zoe. Jamie climbs away from his pursuers up a rocky cliff. He can't climb any further. Then Rapunzel throws down her hair, and Jamie soon is climbing up the hair and meets her. And he climbs in and operates some literal technology, which was a precursor to the Kimball or the audio book. And reads about the Doctor and Zoe's adventure as it unfolds. And then I think the Doctor and Zoe then find Medusa. And if they look at her, they're going to turn to stone. And Zoe refuses to say that Medusa is not real for some reason. And that leads to a cliffhanger at the end of episode 3. Did I miss anything there?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
A few things, but that's okay.
Did I? And nothing that was major.
I knew Kirby nothing would point it out, but I wasn't aware of anything.
My info text says you didn't.
Zoe cannot resist looking at the Medusa, and Doctor picks up a sword, but then realises if he uses a sword, he becomes part of the fiction himself, so drops it and uses a mirror instead. Gulliver appears for Jamie, as do the white robots this time, so I think it's the first time we've seen the white robots, because they've been soldiers up to this point. apart from we saw him in episode one in that sort of misty sort of area. But again, Gulliver can't see them, but he doesn't give them away this time because he keeps his gob shut. The carcass appears out of thin air.
The carcass!
Wearing a very funny very funny costume, it's got to be said. I think it was meant to be some sort of Mickey take of cartoon sort of superheroes at that particular time. Zoe has a wrestle with him.
He's a comic book character from the future year of 2000.
Oh, that's right, yeah. So, thanks for reminding me of that, because it says here, Zoe wrestles with the carcass. Apparently in the info text, I did read about the info text on this occasion, they were originally going to be a little bit more violent with Zoe stamping on his neck and stuff like that to threaten him. But yeah, instead, she gets him in an arm lock. Tiny little Wendy Papery gets him in an arm lock, which is quite funny. And this is when we discover that Zoe's from the year 2000.
She looks it with that cat suit.
Christopher Robbie used to be a presenter on Southern Television, which is the company that used to do TV in our area, which is currently Meridian. And then before that it was TVS. Also, before that it was Southern TV. Pardon?
He's one of the people on the making of on the DVD as well.
Oh, was he?
They talk.
Yes, anyway.
He explains he wasn't quite sure why the carcass ended up with a German accent. It just kind of happened.
I didn't notice the accent, to be honest with you. I didn't even notice it being German.
It was obviously that good a German accent.
Yeah, because the doctor pretends he's the carcass and he does some sort of accent. That's what made the... Why is the doctor putting that accent on? To gain entry to the Citadel. They soon join Jamie and Gulliver. Doctor realises that if they fall into the Master's trap, they will become fiction. The Doctor demands an interview with the Master at the White Rabbit, basically says to the White Rabbit, I want to see the Master. So the Master obliges. He suddenly becomes quite charming. This is the Master. So when he's sort of under control of the Master brain, isn't it? He's really quite nasty. And then when he's himself, he's quite nice and charming. The character of the Master. Anyway, did you ever hear of the adventures of Captain Jack Harkaway, says the Master?
Captain Jack Harkness, I said.
Yes.
Yeah.
Someone's not very good at making up new names, are they?
Is that Russell T. Davis? Oh, no, you're talking about Stephen Moffat, aren't you?
No,
it was R2-D who invented him.
Yeah, but it was Stephen Moffat who first put him in the Doctor Who story.
That's right.
So they're not absolute. You sure RTD invented the character?
Yes.
Even though Stephen Moffat introduced
him. Right for Captain Jack.
Okay.
But Moffat wrote the story that...
He wrote the episode, but RTD requested that Captain Jack was put in there, and then he moved on to Torchwood and any other Doctor Who episode he appeared in.
Okay. So we'll let Moffat off that one then, Ben.
Oh, yes, we'll let Moffat off that one.
Anyway, basically, this Master's brain is keeping this sort of world, this fiction world, alive with his imagination, basically. The Doctor keeps him talking while Jamie and Zoe poke around this sort of library area. The Master wants the Doctor to take his place as he's getting too old. He is being controlled by an alien entity, which is the Master brain, and the Master blackmails the Doctor by using Jamie and Zoe's liberty as bait, and they get squashed in a giant book. Which...
That happens to me so often. I get so fed up with walking around being squashed by giant books.
Well,
down to the supermarket last week, and what happened to me? Giant book squashed me again.
Well, apparently this giant book is supposed to indicate that they're being turned into fiction. So episode 5.
Everyone else have to worry about pianos falling out of the sky. With Ben, it's falling books.
No, they're not even falling books. Just walking into a big open book and being squashed by it.
Anyway, the Doctor says no, but the Doctor, hey? The Doctor says, I have to say. Oh, what have I written? Says the Doctor says no. Then the Doctor says, I have yet to see a robot that can fly.
How have you spelt no?
I think I've skipped past. Wait, so he's saying no to Jamie and Zoe being squished in the book. And then he says, I've yet to see a robot that can fly. So he sort of climbs up out of the way of the white robots and meets a fictional Jamie and Zoe who are acting rather strangely. They have been, as I say, turned into fiction. The Doctor... the Doctor discovers some Master tape, which is down some sort of hole of some variety. And he can't open the hatch. So he summons the carcass, who appears out of nowhere for him.
The carcass!
And so does Rapunzel, who then loans her his hair, and the Doctor climbs in. He immediately starts...
I can't go anywhere where there's a big, tall building without having Rapunzel dropping her hair down for me to climb up.
You can't, or the Doctor.
I should pull you out of the big books that are squishing
yeah.
you.
That's it. That's normally the way that I find Rapunzel's long hair very helpful, is being pulled out of these books that are trying to squash me.
Anyway.
You don't believe me by that,
no,
laugh.
No.
I do.
Be careful, you could get embroiled in this world of fiction if you're not careful. So anyway, he gets down and starts writing, and then he realises if he starts writing, he could then be turned into fiction himself, so he climbs back up after nearly being drawn into the trap. The Master turns Jamie and Zoe against the Doctor, and the Doctor is surrounded by these annoying children, Gulliver and various other characters. And the TARDIS appears, and the Doctor is trapped because he's sort of lured into this cardboard cutout TARDIS, which falls forward, leaving him in some sort of thing. Looks like a sort of perspex box, actually.
Yeah, that bit confused me slightly, because obviously he walked through the TARDIS door and then must have turned round and then been captured by this big perspex thing that went over his head.
Yes.
How? The amount of times I've been walking somewhere where I've been captured after I've walked through the TARDIS door with a perspex thing which fits perfectly over my head is none.
Anyway, so he's trapped. The Master wants control of planet Earth for some inexplicable reason. Basically, he wants to take all the people off Earth, turn them into fiction, so as this whoever's controlling the Master brain can then inhabit the empty planet. Weird. Anyway, the Doctor has a battle of wits with the Master, and Jamie and Zoe escape the giant book. The Doctor and the Master battle. Story twists until the alien brain thingamajig orders the Doctor's destruction. The Master is not very happy, because that means obviously he can't give up his job and retire. But he's still sort of under control. The Master Brain is still under control of this chap, the Master chap. Jamie and Zoe overloaded the Master Brain by pressing a few buttons here and there.
It does, doesn't it?
It's handy they just happen to have the buttons there to overload it. Do they have little labels on them saying these are the overload buttons?
Yeah, they did. I saw that. Yeah.
Anyway,
they should do it the Mickey way. Just unplug it.
Yeah. Well, there's some explosions do happen. They drag the Master away. But Zoe says, "Oh, why are we bringing him?" You know, the Doctor says anyway. And he's a little bit confused. And then there's a boom, and everything's returned to normal. The TARDIS comes back into its, well, unexplodes basically, but we don't get to see another shot of Zoe's arse on the console, unfortunately. The end!
Wasn't that the most bizarre? Well, I'll tell you what, I thought it was a really strange ending. I had to watch it about three times to actually make sure that I hadn't missed anything to say it was the end. Because it just, here it comes!
It's very abrupt,
isn't it? The TARDIS reforms, but then it makes perfect sense if you watch the first episode of The Invasion.
Yeah.
Because it continues on. Because that's the one thing that, although all the stories were split up into individual episodes and then obviously into a story, the next story for this series just seems to carry on straight after.
There's quite a lot of that in this particular series of you know, the continuation sort of thing. There's always something from the previous episode and the next one. And they tried that in the Davison era. There was a bit of that going on.
Didn't work very well.
No.
Didn't work as well. But no, it was a slightly confusing ending until you watched the beginning of the next one, which is obviously in cartoon form. So
yes.
That was really confusing, seeing everyone turning from humans into cartoons.
They went ahead and into the world of fiction anyway.
Yeah.
They did, yeah. Yes. So you thought the whole of the last story was a complete waste of time because they all ended up being... And the biggest waste of time was a fictional character trying not to become a fictional character.
Yeah, so right. I'm not. What I normally do at this. What I normally do at this point is say, right, let's move on. But I forget that you lot need to sort of say. But I'll say what I thought first of all, shall I? I really quite enjoy this story. It's a bit of a sort of departure from your usual Doctor Who type of thing. But I did find it very entertaining. The time didn't drag while watching it. And I certainly the highlight for me was Wendy Padbury's bottom. But yeah, it was good fun. But certainly not the best Doctor Who story ever.
It was, and I quite enjoyed it. It was,
totally, it was very, you know, as you said, very different from a lot of stuff that was going on. But I like the way the whole series was almost continual.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't. It was typical second Doctor stuff where there was, you know, obviously very little special effects around, so you couldn't do a lot. It was well written, it was well acted, and they got away with the fact that poor old Jamie got chicken pox.
Yeah.
In a really clever way.
It was, yeah, I agree, totally agree. And which I think it was probably. I was just thinking it was quite lucky, though, that they were writing a story that was basically about a fantasy universe on, you know, on the time that Fraser Hines was unable to carry on, and they had to change the actor, so they had that perfect opportunity to weave it into the plot and make it totally believable.
What I found quite strange, though, was that obviously they changed the actor for that because they needed someone to continue to play the part for the story. But in the next story, The Invasion, as we've alluded to already, obviously two of the episodes are in animation form, brilliantly done.
Yeah.
But I love the way they've done the animation in black and white in The Invasion, by the way.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, in episode 4 of that, Wendy Padbury wasn't in episode 4 of The Invasion, and Fraser Hines wasn't in episode 7. Does anybody know why?
Holidays?
They were on holiday.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't.
I did it all the time.
This week, there's no Billy Piper in Doctor Who because she's gone to Mauritius for a week.
Well, that's because Doctor Who was virtually on all year round, though, in those days. Right up to 1970, it was on, like, 50 weeks, I think it was like 40 to 45 weeks in the year, so that obviously they had to have breaks, and Hartnell did it a few times.
That changed during the filming of The Mind Robber, because Patrick Troughton was having quite a bit of difficulty dealing with learning his lines.
Yeah.
Because he was being called in week after week after week after week, and he just basically put his foot down and said, "Hey, I can't do this. You're going to have to give us some time off."
Yeah.
Which is always a dangerous thing to do when you can regenerate the lead character, isn't it?
Yeah. So,
mind you, it doesn't show. He did a fantastic job.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I can understand you watch this, you know, and see why Matt Smith, you know, sees this as the best Doctor for him.
What surprised me was I didn't realize that they were coming in every week, rehearsing for 3 days, and then basically shooting the entire episode almost straight through in 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Every week.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, blocking all the scenes in one set and doing all those together, which I guess they did later on during the Baker, at least starting the Baker era.
Yeah, that's right.
As in Tom?
Yes.
Hmm.
Okay.
So what do you think, Riz?
Sorry, Kirby,
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Colin Baker's not one of my favorite doctors, so he disappeared.
we'll get you around on that at some point in the future. Riz, what did you think of this one?
I loved it. I have watched another Second Doctor story, Tomb of the Cybermen, and that was fantastic as well, but I thought it was surreal, it was one of the most imaginative episodes of Doctor Who I've seen in a long time, even compared to Yoo-hoo! Thank you, Kirby.
Magic, can you bark, please?
And if we wait 15 minutes, we'll get the clock as well, so that'll be the whole...
Right.
But I just thought it was very enjoyable, and I could see why Troughton is so popular. Even amongst the doctors themselves, because Tony Galichon of The Flashing Blade has described him as the doctor's doctor, because he's Matt Smith's favourite. I think he's Tennant's favourite, and Colin Baker's favourite.
Hmm. Well, I thought that Peter Davison was Tennant's favourite.
That was his doctor. I'm not sure if it's his favourite.
Oh, okay. Well, I'd say it's quite interesting because you haven't actually had a chance to see much of the Troughton era because obviously you're a New Who fan. So it's just interesting to... Have you seen this one before, Reese?
No, this is my first time.
Oh, good.
And I was hooked all the way through.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to allude to earlier. It was certainly 5 episodes that I didn't get bored of at all. It did tick along quite nicely.
Yes, have to agree with that.
What are you doing?
I've moved.
Yeah, I can hear that.
I can tell.
Now downstairs.
There's anything anybody else wants to say about this this story?
It was good.
No, obviously.
Yeah. Who enjoyed it? It was good fun. I think you're talking about the sort of fantasy aspect. The last time Doctor Who tried this was the Celestial Toymaker, of which I think we only have one episode still in existence. So I think I've heard the audio of that, because that is available via Audible, and worth listening to, has to be said. Or if you can listen to and watch the existing episode as well. I know, and then also there's reconstructions as well available at various places. Which is a shame the BBC hasn't saw fit to make all these reconstructions available, because I haven't seen most of them, you know.
They should.
I'd like to see them. Yes. You know, it's not, obviously, if it's done correctly, it would look really good. I think the only one I've seen is a reconstruction of the 10th Planet, which the BBC released on video, VHS, a few years ago. That's probably the only one I've seen. But anyway.
Good.
Yes. So, yes, thumbs up to... The Mind Robber. Great stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So we can move on now, and you're still here, Kirby. How long have you got now?
10, 15 minutes.
Cool. Have you got time to do the charts, Ben?
I have. I was just getting a jumper, though.
Getting a jumper?
Yeah, it's not as warm downstairs as it is.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were doing it because Noel Edmonds used to wear jumpers and he used to do the charts. I don't remember.
No. I'm here, and I've got the email
it's
already.
It's the 21st century. We're all wearing...
Earmuffs?
Modern. Oh, sorry. Whatever.
Well, the book that was keeping me warm has suddenly vanished.
Oh. Right.
Right.
Charts.
Number 30, a re-entry for the RAT. Is it the RAT project?
I'm not quite sure what it is. R little A big T
what?
Project. The RAT project.
The RAT.
I've heard of that one.
It's one of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Otherwise, it wouldn't be in our charts, but it's there.
Never heard of it, but I'm sure they're brilliant.
Absolutely. But they don't have any presenters that regularly appear on Radio 2.
Well, exactly. which Doctor Who podcast has the joy of that, eh? Only this one, folks. Only this one.
Oh!
Yeah, that was me.
Available on the BBC iPlayer if anybody wants to listen to Ben on the Ken Brew Show. That was a Monday.
On at the beginning of this.
Send me a link to that.
It is on the beginning of this. What am I talking about?
I don't know.
Listen to this podcast. Oh, you've already listened to it.
Listen to this podcast and you're already listening to it.
But I think if you want to listen to the other chap that Ben was up against, because I won't be including that part of it, although he does appear right at the end when he submits his defeat to you, Ben. But I don't play his dismal performance.
He was
right. Just you.
He was right. He only got 15. I got 15 and three questions of his. Easy. Anyway,
yes.
Number 29, it's down to The Travelling the Vortex. Number 28, a re-entry for the Gallicast from France. The Gallicast from France.
I wonder what Mr. Galichon thinks of the Gallicast.
It's all about
maybe their long-lost relations.
Yes.
Different surname. Number two, that's indeed if it is Mr. Gallicast doing the Gallicast. Hello, I am Dr. Gallicast, and this is the Gallicast from France. I can smell onions and garlic, and I can see the Eiffel Tower, and I like Doctor Who. See you next week. I'm sure that's what it
is. And we're coming up to the Who cast from Germany at some point, so God knows how long this is going to go on for. Right, yes.
We're not going to get there for a while. At number 27, it's the Untempered Schism. At number 26, the Who cast from Germany!
Woohoo! There is the carcass. The carcass should be there.
Yes!
I'm going to the beer festival to drink beer!
I'm at your service!
Doctor Who! See you next week! At number 25.
And don't talk about the war.
I've mentioned that once.
Away with it. Right. At number 25, down three for the Ha Penis Patrol. At 24, a non-mover for Articles of the Shadow.
Shouldn't really talk with him out for.
A non-mover for Articles of the Shadow Proclamation. At number 23, a re-entry for the Time Vault. And at number 22, It's another re-entry, this time for Dirty Whoers. Hello, we're Dirty Whoers. We're going to talk about Doctor Who on 0891 36. That obviously would be funny to English people. People who are not in England, the 0891 phone number gag then. Porn line. At number 21, down 2 for Outpost Scaro. At number 20, up 3 for Ian Todworld.
Hello, I'm Ian Todd and this is my world.
And that's more of a Geordie accent you're looking at. I've been on his programme.
Have you? At number 19, a re-entry for Bigger on the Inside. Number 18 is up to for the 2 minute Time Lord. Hello, welcome to the Doctor Who podcast. We're going to talk about Doctor Who.
This episode was really good. I think it was really great. I can't have anything else to say about it.
It's funny, the 2 minute Time Lord, who I love, he's a genius, Chip, who does a 2 minute Time Lord. But the funny thing is, most of his podcast is taken up with his introduction theme music thing and the sort of summary and the end bit. There's more in his actual. Is sort of opening theme and stuff than there is actually in the content of the programme, which is quite funny.
I'm going to do a 1 minute Time Lord podcast, and I'm going to have a 28 second theme tune on the way in and on the way out, and I'll say hello, welcome to the 1 minute Time Lord podcast, then play the out theme and that'll be it.
Oh, this episode was good, see ya.
See how many listeners I get. I'm going to do that. I've got so little to do with my time. I'm going to make a 1 minute Time Lord podcast and it's going to be 4 seconds in content. Anyway, I'm sure the 2 minute Time Lord is brilliant. At 17, a re-entry for the TARDIS Tavern. And at 16, a re-entry for Waffle On Podcast. At 15, it's up 3 for Doctor Who Who's He. And at number 14, up 3 for the Doctor's Companion / Reoccurring Friend. At number 13, a non-mover from Staggering Stories. And at number 12, up 3, it's Bad Wilf, although nothing about Wilf was bad. Yep. At number 11, a non-mover for the Doctor Who cast. Number 10, it's up 2 for the Pharos Project. Number 9, it's a re-entry for the Crinoid podcast.
Crinoid!
Crinoid!
Oh, God. And number 9, it's a re-entry for the Crinoid podcast. And at number 8, up 2 for Mostly Harmless Cutaway. Number 7 is up 2 for Adventures in Time, Space and Adventures in Time, Space and Music. That's where we go. That's number 7, up 2 for them. And at number 6, a non-mover for the Radio 2 mentioned 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hooray!
If we're not number 1 next week, I'm seriously annoyed. 96 million people heard me earlier, and
I'm slightly going up and up and up.
Well, you know, that's not the first time someone said that to me. I've got an email from I don't know if you know him, Adam, a bloke called Pat Sissons, who I used to work on the radio with. He says after my mention of the podcast on Radio 2, he's now going to download and listen.
So, hey, hello, you better be behaved. Now I've got it. He goes and swears on the part that his mate's going to download.
Pat used to be a boss of mine at a radio station in Basingstoke, and he was brilliant, really nice chap.
I'm sure he's going to really appreciate that.
Listening,
he still works on the radio, and I don't, so I'm so jealous.
Well, is that close to the Basingstoke roundabout that Trillian goes around on a moped?
It was quite close to that.
That's a very obscure Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
I was waiting for
that. I think it was Hitchhiker's because I heard Trillian.
from the second episode, I believe, of the radio show. Never
wasn't
mind.
In the book?
It might have been, but the radio show is canon as far as I'm concerned.
Before they started. Anyway, at number 5. Moving on. Number 5, a non-mover for the Flashing Blade. At number 4, a non-mover for the DWO Who cast. At number 3, a non-mover. Did no one download anything, or did we all download exactly the same as we did last week?
Sounds like it.
At number 3, another non-mover for the Doctor Who podcast. At number 2, a re-entry for Doctor Who Podshock, which means top of the tree, number 1 for another week. And well done to them for stealing our listeners. Is the Tin Dog Podcast.
Indeedy. Yay. Well done, Tin Dog Podcast.
Yay. I'm sure next week, Radio 2 mentioned 20 megabyte Doctor Who Podcast will be probably number 1, if not number 0.
Oh, it'd be nice. Right, so thank you for that, Ben. Right, before I forget, on Children in Need on Friday, there was a little preview of the forthcoming Christmas special. Did everybody get to see it?
Oh,
I did. Absolutely.
Let me tell you, it's astonishing what you find in the depths of BBC Television Centre. Mm-hmm. Just this week, I've seen Brucey polishing his taps.
Right.
Taps. Anne Robinson practising her wink. And Fiona Bruce valuing antiques. I just didn't like the way she was eyeing me up.
Oh, I'm sure you did.
I hear Doctor Who has been spotted too. Can you do the noise?
Well, I've tried, but I can't quite do it. Yeah,
Doctor Who
knows.
Like, can you, anybody do the
noise? Can anyone do that noise? These guys are good.
I'm really sorry I asked, man.
Hello. I'm the Doctor. Now, a lot of people have asked me how I managed to look so cool. Well, not actually a lot of people, and they didn't use the word cool or any of the other words because no one's ever asked me that at all. But if they had asked me, I'd have answered with one word. My clothes, especially the bow tie and a fez sometimes, which in fairness is several words, but that's because I'm excited. Yes, excited. Today, for Children in Need, I am giving the clothes off my back. My jacket. Unique in the universe, made of infinity tweed. If this jacket is hit by any kind of bullet or laser beam or even a triple enfolded quantum strength ninja star, it would be completely ruined. So please be careful with it. My bow tie. Bow ties are and always will be cool. My shirt looks like an ordinary shirt, feels like an ordinary shirt, is in fact an ordinary shirt. My trousers. Not just any old trousers, hyper trousers, very similar to normal trousers, but with the word hyper in front. My boots! Oh, one, two, three! Oh, Time Lords, we're full of surprises. Now, if any of you would like to bid for these completely unique items of clothing, the URL is appearing on your screens right now. No, don't worry. These aren't my real clothes. These are hologram clothes. Please don't touch the red button on your remote or they might just disappear. Ah! No! Stop that! Stop it! Okay, guys. I'm going to need a diversion. Run the trailer! Run the trailer!
England, 1941, and there's a war on.
So haunted.
Who are you?
Usually call the doctor, or the caretaker, or get off this planet.
That man is quite ridiculous.
I know.
You must stay away from him.
Why have you got a phone box in your room?
It's not a phone box, it's my wardrobe.
Sarah.
Your brother, where is he?
Hello. Okay, come on.
Where are we?
In a forest, in a box, in a sitting room.
What do they teach you in schools these days?
There is something very wrong in this forest. And your brother's right in the middle of it.
Best Christmas ever.
I know.
Wasn't it good?
Yeah.
That was very enthusiastic then.
I can't get very excited by a 30-second trailer, to be honest.
30 seconds?
It was longer than 30 seconds.
Was it?
All right, 35.
But there was a good little scene, wasn't there, that Matt Smith did before that it was quite amusing.
if you say so.
Well, I thought it was.
It was written by Russell, by Stephen Moffat.
Was it was it canon though?
No.
Okay, fair enough.
I want to bring up something which is vaguely Doctor Who related. There's a newspaper column that has been in a lot of the alternative newspapers here in America since 1973, called the Straight Dope.
Called the what?
The Straight Dope.
Straight Dope.
Where it's kind of this guy gets these oddball questions and looks at them skeptically or scientifically. The subtitle of the Straight Dope column is Fighting Ignorance Since 1973. It's taking longer than we thought.
Maybe I should start reading this.
It's at thestraightdope.com. And in the most recent column from November 18th, he had a very interesting question from a reader. What's that smell right before it rains?
Oh, yes.
It's called petrichor. I wonder where we've heard that before.
I thought you were going to sort of lead us towards that particular thing. Excellent. I thought you mentioned that on Facebook, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I thought you did, yeah. So I do read your posts on Facebook. Just sometimes don't comment on them. I do read them, though.
Straightdope.com.
Excellent.
I'm just Googling that now.
Reese.
Don't need to Google it, just straightdope.com.
Adam.
No, you were telling me stuff off air before I'd actually positioned myself here in Studio One in 20 megabyte towers. Yes, you were. Would you be able to tell me again what you were telling me earlier on?
I'll tell you what, Reese, if you say it now, I won't pay any attention.
No.
Okay, and I'll tell you later. Okay. Matt Smith is making a 7th season of Doctor Who and a 50th anniversary special. And speaking on BBC Breakfast right now, I take it that's quite a while ago now.
Hang on, can I interrupt you? We already knew he was doing a 7th series, though, didn't we? Because that was announced a while back. But we didn't know about the 50th... Go on then, sorry.
Come on, Adam, it answers that question. don't forget, Adam, it does take 2 weeks for any news to get to Australia.
Oh, of course, sorry. Yes, I didn't take that into account. Do apologise. Carry on.
They have to put it on a boat.
Their arms get really sore rowing down.
You must get really chafed hands having to row all the way down to Australia with post for your friends.
Yeah, sorry, carry on, Reese.
I'm just going to go and see my next door neighbour. G'day, mate!
Anyway, Matt Smith has just spelled out his outstanding commitment to Doctor Who. They start filming in February for 14 new episodes.
14 years?
No, he said
new
14
episodes.
He did say 14 new episodes. Please listen.
That'd be prizing, Series 7.
Yes, it does mean Season 7. And a Christmas special and a 50th anniversary special. And that's 50th anniversary special singular rather than a mini-series or something like that, as some has speculated. Apparently. I hadn't heard that kind of speculation anywhere. Had you?
No.
Okay. He was not explicit about these being his final episodes, but he could be seen to be clearly and deliberately ducking that question. Before his slot was up, Smith told a little anecdote about seeing David Tennant and Peter Davison at Stephen Moffat's birthday party on Saturday, and being suddenly struck by spotting them, thinking, there's the Doctor, and there's the Doctor.
No, hold on, I'm the Doctor, he should have then replied.
He probably did think that, but he didn't say that on the show. Anyway, well, they didn't say he said that on the show. I haven't seen the show, have I?
No.
you'll get in about 2 weeks, as we've just
Well, actually, there's another bit of news about the Christmas special. It's being fast-tracked to Australia.
Oh.
Not by paddle steamer.
Shut up.
They're using a proper boat.
ABC Australia has become the first broadcaster to confirm the scheduling for the 2011 Doctor Who Christmas story. The episode will be shown on ABC One on Boxing Day, brackets the 26th of December for any stupid people. It's written there in brackets, so I thought... I don't know why it'd be written in brackets.
Just for people who don't know when Boxing Day is.
Yeah, okay. Repeating last year's schedule when the episode was fast-tracked to the Commonwealth just a few hours after its UK debut. No transmission date has been confirmed for the UK, US or Canada.
Can I take the Christmas special in the UK will be shown on Christmas Day. Let's go to
I'm fairly certain it's going to be on Christmas here in America as well.
Can I just say that Christmas Day is the 25th of December? That's not in brackets.
In January, ABC 2 will begin a repeat of the entire revived series, starting with Christopher Eccleston's first appearance as the Doctor in Rose, and running through every episode in order, including the Christmas specials. And we were talking about reviewing the entire New Who.
My mum is buying for me Series 6 box set, and it's got a embossed silent on the front cover with a limited edition number on it, which is it's quite nice. And it comes with a free micro figure with it, and rather unfortunately, it's a micro figure of the Doctor, which is the most common one you can get. So it's a shame they didn't decide to put an exclusive micro figure in with it. There you go.
Well, I'm going to have to head out to work. I've got to go into work early today. So.
That's disgraceful. What sort of commitment is this? Getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to do a podcast and then disappearing
quite
to work.
A lot it's absolutely to work.
Disgraceful.
Okay.
Oh, wait, can you let me know what next week's story is?
I shall. I'll look down your list. I'll look down your list of episodes, and then I'll randomise something until it's something you've got.
I want to randomly choose an episode this week, because I've got one DVD in the cupboard I've never watched, and I wouldn't mind watching it, actually.
Oh, okay.
Can we do the Mark of the Rani?
Oh.
I've been told you shouldn't.
Do I have that one? Yeah, I think I do have
that
one.
All right, then, we'll do Mark of the Rani. We'll do Mark of the Rani.
Well, you're going to have to figure out a way of getting it. Maybe it will help me see the Sixth Doctor in a more positive light.
I doubt it.
Oh, my God, I've got some email.
Wow.
Anyway.
Emails.
I've got an email.
Anyway, I will talk to everyone next week.
Excellent. Thank you, Kirby.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you for joining us again.
Bye-bye.
Right, this is... If I can get this to work, Alicia's computer's about to die, but it's Ian Kirk. I'm hoping this works.
Wendy, sit on this console. Ah, she's gone. She was a figment of my imagination. Or, I am a figment of hers. The Mind Robber suffered a lot at the planning stage. It was commissioned as a 6-part story, then it was cut to 4 parts. It was then increased to 5 parts. A new part was written by Derek Sherwin, the script editor, and tacked on to the beginning. Peter Lane, who wrote the other 4 parts, created a British soap opera called Crossroads. The unicorn was played by a brown pony covered in white makeup. The white robots were black robots from another science fiction show. Fraser Hines had chicken pox and was replaced by Hamish Wilson in parts 2 and 3. The Master of the Land is not the Time Lord. This was before he appeared. The Doctor reminds me of Sarek, Spock's father from Star Trek. In other news, Alex Kingston was on the Craig Ferguson chat show in Los Angeles last week. She said she had seen the Peter Cushing Doctor Who film in 1965. Then she backpedaled furiously, saying she was very young at the time. Bye for now.
Well, that reminds us.
Yes, there's some news of a Doctor Who film, apparently.
How bloody atrocious, excuse my French, is that idea?
Well, they've had the idea before. It's not a new thing. It just depends how they...
Yeah, it's going to happen.
You think it is going to happen?
Well, no.
Yeah, it's appalling.
Well, it depends how they do it. If they're going to do it as a standalone thing that's not technically related to the series, they might get away with it. But if they try and make it canon and bring in loads of other fancy elements, it might not work. So I don't know. I'm sort of open to it at the moment.
I'm open to it as long as it doesn't affect the BBC's budget, or, as you said, as long as it's not canon. And as long as they get a good enough actor to play the Doctor.
Also, as long as they don't decide this is how they're going to go with Doctor Who now, they're not going to have a TV series anymore. They're just going to do the odd film once a year or something stupid.
I'm not a fan of this idea at all.
No?
I didn't like the way that back in the 60s you had the TV series and then Peter Cushing playing the Doctor, who wasn't the Doctor, but was the Doctor, but wasn't the Doctor, was the Doctor. I thought that whole idea was just complete bobby. It looked like they had Bernard Cribbins in, which is very good on it.
Yes.
I didn't like the films, the original, you know, the 60s films. They weren't the Doctor Who that you know on the TV series, and that's how it originated, and that's how it should be done. Mm. And, you know, God knows who they're going to get in to be the Doctor. I mean, there's talk of them bringing in an American Doctor, people like what's his name, Simon Pegg.
Yeah.
He said he wouldn't do it, and they're all, you know,
he's a fan.
Sorry, can I interrupt that? Can we come back to the subject in a minute? Because Alicia's battery is about to run out, and I wanted to play this groundbreaking audio from Andy Nunney, the first podcast he's ever done audio feedback for. And this has got to be heard.
I have some more Doctor Who news, if we want some more news that you may or may not have talked about so far today.
Okay.
Firstly, we've got Camille Cordury, who was... what's her
Jackie
name?
Jackie Tyler.
Jackie Tyler. She's saying, I don't expect to return to the show.
Oh, dear.
Well, no, neither did we. We would, so, you know, that's a complete non-news story. we've got Freema Agyeman saying, I want to return for the 50th anniversary of the show.
All right, okay. She's obviously short of money at the moment.
Anyone who's been in Doctor Who for the last 50 years will probably be saying, I want to return to, for the 50th anniversary,
yes.
apart from Christopher Eccleston.
Yes.
That's
there's also, I've got a poll here that's been done saying who should play the Doctor and his assistant on the big screen. Should we have a look just to see some of the suggestions that people have come up with?
Why not?
Yep.
Okay, the people have come
They make a vote?
So well, the people have written their suggestions. They've kind of like got Benedict Cumberbatch and Carey Mulligan.
Yeah, okay, that's
neither
good.
Neither of them know. I know.
Carey Mulligan was obviously in Blink, and Benedict Cumberbatch plays
his
Sherlock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever. Simon Pegg or James McAvoy and Keira Knightley. Anything with Keira Knightley involved in, I'm there.
James McAvoy would do a fine job, I think.
Oh, absolutely, I
think
agree.
He would do.
Yeah,
but I think the best suggestion I've seen who could play the Doctor in the Doctor Who movie, and this should be resounded with a, oh yes, is Stephen Fry.
Oh yes.
Oh yes.
He would
that
be.
That was genuine, right?
Mm. I'll tell you what they should do. They should get Stephen Fry to be the Doctor and Hugh Laurie to be his assistant.
Yes. Excellent,
that
yes.
would work really, really
it
well.
It would work very, very well, but I think that's very unlikely. But not for the Stephen Fry playing the Doctor, because I'm sure he'd love to have the opportunity to do so, but I can't see that they do that.
But the person I'd love to see play Doctor more than anybody else in the whole world is Eddie Izzard.
Yes, he's made for the part, wasn't he?
He would be phenomenally good in it, and I'd love to see that, because the whole of the inquisitive thing going on in his mind is just, you know, that's what's just thinking the whole time is the way that Eddie Izzard thinks.
The dogs are being naughty. Sorry. The dogs have decided to come in here and be naughty. Meanwhile, I've worked out of way, and I hope this hasn't broken up my recording, playing Andy Nunney's groundbreaking audio. So bear with me a moment, because I'm going to unplug this. It might create a bit of feedback.
Hi, this is Andy Nunney, and this is my first ever piece of audio feedback to a podcast. So, let's see how it goes. I had recently invested £7.49 in a headphone and microphone set from Comet. Won't be in the same league, of course, as the equipment Reese has, you know, with pop guards and stuff like that. But anyway, I've just finished listening to the latest edition of The Only Way Is, the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, the reality show set on the Isle of Wight and Farnborough and America and Australia. And first of all, is to say happy birthday to the best known lingerie model and the champion laptop flinger of the Isle of Wight, Mrs. Deborah Pearson, who hits the grand old age of my lovely Dawn. She hit that earlier this year, and as I keep telling her, she's like a day over 39. Anyway, happy birthday, Debs, for the future, although if this is broadcast, then it'll be in the past, but hope you've had a good day. Right, the latest episode, usual malarkey. Now, I've got a suggestion for your wanting to fund a trip to Cardiff. Now, if you've got Alicia to do a sponsored silence, you could get everyone to sponsor her for, say, £10 a minute, you could keep silence for, and you might raise fourpence. Okay, perhaps not the best idea in the world. Destiny of Daleks, yes. Now, I was 14 when this was broadcast, and having gone to Douglas Adams around that time to The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, some of the lines were very good. I didn't pick up on the Yulon Kalufin reference, though I did remember it when it was referred to in the podcast. I think that went a bit over my head. But what you failed to mention was... it's the actress, and I can't think of her name now. Suzanne Danielle, of course, yes. Sam Torrance is a very lucky man. And, of course, she was in that, and how could we forget that? But it wasn't the best story ever. I mean, it was a bit limp in places, but... I mean, we have to remember it for the regeneration from Romana. which was obviously quite comical in places. But I think it did set the scene for the way the Doctor was going to move on in the future. So from that point of view, yeah, rather good. Anything else? Well, I think it's keep up the good work, lads. Ben, I hope you get a job soon. Glad to hear your toe's better. Reese,
thank you.
I forgot you're 16 now. Crikey, because I can remember you doing the first podcasts of your own, which must be, what, getting off a couple of years you've been doing them now, and how you've changed, how much more confident you are, and obviously your interests have changed a little bit. I remember you criticising me for making references to Callum Gillan, and here you are doing it yourself. Mm. I don't know, disgraceful, isn't it? But honestly, fine, I can put the final nail into the series season. Now, Doctor Who is a series, and therefore is made up of components of series. And young Reese said, the individual components are seasons. Actually, Reese, I think you'll find the individual components are episodes. So yay! I think we finally nailed that once and for all. So having looked at this thing, I've gone on for 3 minutes now, which is probably a bit too long for this, and who knows what it's going to come out like. I said this is my first piece of audio feedback. So keep up the good work, chaps. Look forward to hearing Isabella and Alicia and Debs and Nan and Magic and Star and the Clock and the Cardis et al. In your next edition. Be seeing you.
Who's that?
Just the phone rings. Hang on. Who's this?
Good timing.
Oh.
It's like I put a theme tune on the end of his good feedback.
Yeah. No, that would be good.
Hello. I'll be ready at one.
Cool. Am I picking you up then?
I don't know what you want to do.
Well, where are you?
I'm at Alexander Road.
Okay, so I'll be picking up at one then, yes?
Okay, then. Could you bring me a drink, please?
Yeah.
Then you can pick me up.
Vodka.
Okay. What sort of drink would you like?
Just bring a can, it's fine.
Okay. Pork. Bye.
Thanks, bye.
Yeah.
Take bless her a bottle of rum.
Bless her little Deborah Hart, she's so lovely. Yeah, so I can't believe I actually managed to get that to play. What did we think of Andy Nunney's first ever bit of audio feedback to any podcast in the whole universe?
Well, it got a big cheer and a clap from me.
Yeah, it puts mine to shame.
Did you hear all of it?
I can hear it.
Ben?
Yes,
no, I walked back in a way into it. Don't know how far into it, but
I'm pretty sure I mentioned you somewhere along the line.
And very pleased to receive feedback. I did hear a bit about me toe, though, and getting a job. So, you know.
Oh, that's right, then. That's probably the bit.
You mentioned the fact I was on Radio 2 this morning.
All right, anyway.
Wow, I've got a billion people on Facebook saying, you were on the radio this morning. Yeah.
Yes, like you didn't know.
I know. It's brilliant.
Reminding you.
I got a text message from someone while I was on the phone waiting, saying, you're on the radio in a minute.
Don't forget that.
The funny thing about that is that when you were on the radio on a regular basis, you never got email to say, oh, you're on the radio.
No, I haven't got any listeners either. Right. Although there was a big discussion on the Facebook page last week about the whole episode series.
Yes, thing. I saw some of that. I've never seen so many comment threads on one subject. And, of course, so far, the fact that it's a series rather than a season seems to be holding out. There was a new option added, wasn't it, to the questions? It was series, yeah, season, or drop it, or something, drop the subject, or something stupid like that. Yeah.
And then Mr. M added CEs.
But that gives me and Reese the time to have a chat and ask him why he's not watching the Australia-South Africa test match that's currently on.
Because it's sports and I'm not interested in sports.
Boo. Saints are top of the league. We are top of the league. Right. It's loading up Mr. M's email that I thought I'd forwarded to you, and I didn't. Hello, it's me, Mr. M, again.
Hello, Mr. M again.
Before I get into proper reviewee modiness, two things must be said. One, I hope this is in on time. Is it? Please say it is. It is.
If
you're talking about this episode, it is, yes. Two, I'm slightly worried about the lack of Alicia.
I wouldn't be.
Hook airs about real life or school, or I don't want to. Get her on the show for 2 whole hours, please. then he goes on to say, so, turn left or right, whichever takes your fancy. It doesn't really matter. It won't mean the end of Te-Wordle or anything, will it? Fantastic. Brilliant. One of the few episodes of whom my mum has watched all the way through. Normsley. After 10 minutes... I'm just reading what he said. After 10 minutes, we have the I'm going to have a bath stroke, straighten my hair stroke, get away from this rubbish excuse. That's what his mum's obviously excuse for not watching Doctor Who. Favourite moments, Wilf, after the Titanic has crashed. You won't help the world by shouting at it, saying goodbye to the Colasanto man. And when they're all...
They're the ones I listed.
Yeah, and where they're all having a sing-song, wartime spirit and all. Sylvia, with that bit in the kitchen where she just doesn't say anything, fantastic. The scene in the dying TARDIS and Theet end moment... with bad wolf everywhere, and foe the best moment of the RTD era and of New Who. I actually meant to say of one of the best episode moments of all. Yeah, right.
And the English translation of Mr. M's feedback can be found.
Now, Ben, just thought I'd say you are brilliant.
Ah, stop it! No, carry on.
How can you afford to keep bunging all these people fivers?
What? I didn't hear that bit.
That's good.
You went all muffled.
Also, on YouTube, searching for the ultimate 50th anniversary trailer whatever that was, I wowed give a link so as to narrow it down, but I am desperately trying to get this on in time, so I won't bother. But the music is fantastic. And finally, I just thought I'd say this is one of the best podcasts ever. Mr. M. P.S. Don't get chippy with me, Vera Duckworth. Did you just say who?
Hey,
Reese.
I didn't hear that.
Don't get chippy with me, Vera Duckworth.
Oh, well, someone's at
my
door.
Oh, okay.
You've got someone at his door, just in the middle of the most important part of the whole podcast, the listener feedback section. Hang on, will you star as being a very naughty little Shih Tzu? Stop it! She's trying to wind up magic and get him barking. Very naughty little Shih Tzu she is. Right.
Did you stop calling it? Oh, she's a Shih Tzu.
Yes, the breed of dog. She's a Shih Tzu, yes. First of all, this is from, by the way, this email is from Mary Lang, our female listener, or the female listener that likes to admit that she's a female listener of the show. Thank you,
Mary. I'm sure we have more than one female listener. I'm on the podcast.
She says, first of all, hello, Alicia. Your dad got my question to you all wrong. When I was asking about your opinion of Catherine Tate's style as a companion of the Doctor's, I meant her acting style along with his. Oh. Oops. Sorry about that. They seem to be such good and trusting friends and are so much fun to watch. But I wonder if they appeal only to the older viewers like me and your dad. Excuse me, Mary.
You are old.
Thank you. And his other friends. I wonder if younger companions like Rose or Amy have more appeal to you and your age group. And you say... Can't really ask on behalf of Alicia, but... I know she likes Catherine Tate's character, Donna. So I think she likes all the New Who characters and actors and companions, etc. So she's quite easy going when it comes to New Who. It's old Doctor Who that she's... you know, difficult to get into. Anyway, then to the rest of you lot, random observation. While watching David Tennant's first episode, a Christmas episode, or as it was actually called, Christmas Invasion, he makes an identical speech about Earth and humans being defended to the Sycorax, as Matt Smith's Doctor says to the Atraxi in the first episode of his tenure. Do you think this was on purpose? Has a tradition been started? Right, the Mind Whopper.
Yeah.
What a wonderful story. Had me engaged right from the beginning, as it did with us. So there you go. I read in Robin Toby's book, Running Through Corridors, that the first episode was made up and thrown together in a hurry due to the previous story.
Did you say Robin Tony?
Robin Toby.
Yeah, I heard Tony. Okay, sorry.
Oh, sorry. when I get up to thrown together in a hurry due to the previous story ending one whole episode early. So, think of it. Without the need to do... this slap-together episode, you guys would never had your favourite view of Zoe on the TARDIS console. It's very true. I couldn't help but wonder, as I watched these various famous fictional characters, whether today's kids will be able to recognise them. There seems to be no emphasis on the reading of classical literature anymore. When I quizzed my 18-year-old on who Gulliver or Cyrano Bergerac or D'Artagnan, sorry, misread that, were, she just looked at me blankly. Alicia, any thoughts? Reese, hello?
Hello.
Reese, that was directed at you.
I didn't hear it. Ben was saying
for God's sake. When I quiz my 18-year-old on Gulliver, Cyrano, or the D'Artagnan, who they were, she looked at me blankly. So, any thoughts, Reese? Did you know who they were?
Yes.
Good, right. The master, the master reminded me of the actor that...
test at school with that easy.
Goodness sake. The master reminded me of the actor that played the controller of Oz in the 1930s movie Wizard of Oz.
Yeah!
I agree. I hadn't thought of that at the time, but it's a good observation. But the white bit of spit in the corner of his mouth, I noticed that. I wonder, oh God, what is that? Made me crazy. I thought it was some sort of prop, but yeah, it was definitely a white bit of spit. Good costumes, except for the white robots that seem to have to hold up the circular thingies on the front of their chests. Maybe they weren't glued on very well, or just too heavy for their costumes. Thank you for all your references to Oh, yes, that place that you always mentioned that you shouldn't do. Yes, for where you get other places to get classic episodes of Doctor Who. I hope Robert is doing better and will be on this podcast. Miss your voice, Robert. Happy Thanksgiving to Kirby. Mary Lang. So hopefully these people who are no longer with us on this show will actually listen to this show and get these messages. Thank you, Mary, once again for a lovely bit of feedback. Some great feedback we're getting these days. It's really, really good. And apart from the Facebook group, which has had quite a lot of activity this week, that concludes emailed feedback anyway. Oh, yeah. There's been lots of speculation, and you've been part of that speculation, haven't you, Reese?
I have.
Yes, because I said about it.
First theory is that the boy in the trailer is C.S. Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah,
and of course people go and point out that but he was an adult in la da 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 da. They've gone and had this whole conversation, but I do have to point out it's a time traveling show.
Yes, good point. Well, Jeff Waddell said Matt Smith is brilliant with kids, so it should be good. Like I say, you said this is quite timely. I'm going from the Narnia phase. You like your Narnia stuff. So hopefully it is going to be on that lines, because it does lend itself rather well to that sort of Narnia, Doctor Who, I'm saying, and that sort of Narnia sort of thing. Mary, as we've just spoken about, Mary Lang. Well, both The Christmas Carol and Voyage of the Damned were standalone episodes as well as bonanzas. I don't know whether that's because I was going on about the Christmas specials being a bit sort of Christmas bonanza-like rather than episodes of Doctor Who.
Really?
Yeah, so that's my view. Last year's one was certainly a bit of a sort of just self-indulgent. I did enjoy it, though, and the music was magnificent. So, but it wasn't my favourite Christmas special. Dave Hingley said it would be a cool, in a time-lash type styly, if it was C.S. Eliot in... Right, so, before we go, I think we should try and see if we can just say hello to Robert, because he did say... he'd like to pop on and say hello, and then I've got to go and fetch She Who Must Be Obeyed. Let's see what. See if I can actually get him.
Meanwhile, while you wait, you get the sound of Ben eating breakfast.
Yeah. If I don't get this stuff packed away quickly in about 5 minutes, I might get the sound of flying laptops.
I'm eating my breakfast. That I'd like. Reese, I'm eating my breakfast from a bowl that's older than you are.
Ooh. Hello. Wow.
Robert! Hello!
How are you doing?
We're doing a bit of podcasting, but we're just about to finish off, and I thought we've got to get you on, because our listeners are getting withdrawal symptoms.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really. Aren't they Reese and Ben?
I've missed out on the podcast since I've been in hospital.
Yeah, you haven't heard any?
No.
Oh, you must catch up.
I know, I've just downloaded today, so...
Excellent. Well, hopefully you'll enjoy all the people getting Robert Haynes' withdrawal symptoms.
Thank you very much.
We've missed you.
I've missed you guys. I've missed everything. I've got no idea. What's the news with Doctor Who at the moment?
It's a TV series.
Stephen Moffat's still the producer for Series 7. And the Christmas special is called The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. No, that's not it, is it?
The Doctor, the Nino and the Wardrobe.
So how are you, Robert?
Just out of hospital again today. I'm... To spare you the gross details, I'm sort of... Can't go to the toilet normally. I've got a bag.
Oh. So you're going to spare us the details, you say?
Is this like Sid the Pagan's bag, like we were talking about last week?
It's a kind of a gross bag.
Good grief. Lovely.
Yeah.
So, but you're,
that's only for... It's only for a few months, so.
Oh, okay, that's good then. Well, it's just lovely to hear your voice and see your smiling face on the Skypey thing. So it's.
I've got to ask you, Robert, how big is this bag if it's going to last you a few months? Seriously, mate. That's going to be pretty honking by the end of the month, isn't it?
You can empty it, don't worry. Well, I mean, I can empty it, not you.
Oh, yeah, I was going to start. I'm a little
bit. I'll
be over there in a couple of hours.
There is leaving for the next couple of weeks. So.
I've got to ask, is it true there's going to be a Doctor Who movie?
It's looking very possible. How would you feel about it, though, Robert, a Doctor Who movie?
I think it's a bit weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Unless they have the people from the TV. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm right there with you.
But I was just reading the newspaper the other day and I was thinking, what the hell's this? Saying Doctor Who movie.
Yeah.
So, That's the only sort of
I've had. Not a massive fan of the idea myself.
We'll see what happens. Hopefully either it won't happen like it hasn't happened all the other times they've mentioned doing things like this, or it'll be in conformance to the TV series. But it's not happening yet, so we'll just see what happens at the moment. But yes, it's...
Have you seen the trailer for the Christmas special, Robert?
No, it's not online, is it?
Yep.
Is it not?
I'll find it for you.
It'll be on YouTube somewhere, won't it?
Because I haven't.
That's how I saw it.
I haven't been on the internet for a fair bit because I've been a bit out of it. So I've lost just over 8 kilos. So
8 kilos? I thought you said 8 pounds. Hello, Star. No, Star's coming up to say hello to you, Robert.
Hello, Star. Missed everybody. I missed the clock, believe it or not.
Have you? Well, listen to all the backlog episodes.
I'll do the clock for you now, Robert.
Okay.
Just wait 5 minutes and we'll hear it.
Listen to all the backlog episodes, Robert. I know there's a lot of time you've got to try and consume to do that, but they're well worth a listen, and especially this week's episode, because Ben was on radio too.
I just downloaded everything today, so... Good. I think downloaded like 24 podcasts or something ridiculous.
Oh, so Star's trying to speak. Sorry, Star was trying to speak to you, then I do apologize.
I know what I'll be listening to first.
Good, that's what I like to hear. By the way, before I go...
Me like on I said, Radio 2 from earlier.
Ben was on Radio 2 earlier.
Yeah, I heard
on.
That.
Oh, you heard it?
Was that the one where you picked your songs?
No. That was...
Well, you've been on again.
I was on this morning, yes.
Oh. Yeah, it's about 2 hours ago, and he mentioned to several million, shall we say, listeners, this podcast...
Excellent.
Yes.
Well done.
Yay.
Word of mouth.
You weren't.
Yeah.
You weren't bleep this time.
Anyway, lads, thanks for coming back on, Robert, and hopefully back on next week a bit more fitter. And I've got to get going because I've got to pick the wife up, and I've got to save this audio file and get into a position where I can actually edit something. But I've got to take the wife up to Newport straight away because it's her birthday over the next few days. So we're going to try and make a good one for her.
Birthday's over more than one day.
Yeah,
it does. Well, basically, her actual birthday is on Friday. But she wants to get a tattoo done, so we're taking her up to the tattoo artist. I've got to get her cards and stuff. So Friday birthday, Saturday, no, was it? No, Thursday birthday, sorry. Friday we're going out for a meal with the family and a limousine. She's always wanted a limousine because it's her 40th birthday, listeners, her 40th. And then Saturday we're going to see Alicia in a show, hence Alicia's not on this week because she's doing a lot of rehearsals of the show. She's got a few shows coming up this weekend. And this is a dance show, by the way, not a drama show. And Saturday night, me and Deb are staying in a five-star hotel called the Travelodge or something in Newport.
We have Travelodges over here as well, mate.
So, that's basically... So, in a minute, I'll be going up to Newport and hopefully starting the ball rolling for Deb's 40th birthday.
Well, best wishes.
Yes, thank you.
Two quick things, though. Her birthday's over a couple of days. Is that something to do with wibbly-wobbly-timey-wimey to start with?
No, it's to do with trying to make a fuss of her for once, because I tend to make a bit of a mess of her birthdays over the last 20-odd years. So.
And secondly, Robert, as you haven't been on for a while, does that make you now a recurring character? Or are you still a companion?
Maybe both.
Oh, right, anyway, thanks everybody. See you again next week. And if you want to write into the show like Mary did, like Andy did and all the others, it's 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. Join our Facebook group. It's quite an entertaining little group. I've just been stuck on 107 members for ages now. Anyway,
we have to change that.
Yes. See you then.
We'll all leave.
See you guys.
Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
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 Catch you next time.
Yeah. The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance.
Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.